Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. I have always, always loved that video. Praise God. Hallelujah. So praise God. Where do you go from there? Hallelujah. So, yes. So, yes, we are talking about Don't Look Back this month. You know, as we look at that, right, you know, yes, we can look back and we should look back. And we look back at our lives and see what God has done in our lives. But we shouldn't stay in the past. We shouldn't live in the past, right? The past is stagnant. We can't be stagnant. We can look back and learn from the past, but we can't remain there, you know? So the sermon title today is What You're Looking At, right? You know, what you looking at, right? But so what you looking at? Are you looking, where is your focus? Where is your focus? Is it in the past? Is it in the present? Or is it in the future? That's kind of what I want to go through today. So if we look, I just want to start with this, right? There's so many times that we either get stuck in the past or we're living in or for the present. And we're heaping everything up for a future, right, that may never even arrive, you know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of where we can find ourselves, right, if we're actually in any one of those three states and not in the proper state of mind or not looking at the proper thing, right? You know, road closed, we can find ourselves all kinds of blocks, and God will put those in our lives so that we actually hear from him and we're not actually doing according to our own ways or our own desires, right? So I just want to kind of look at the three different ways. Some of us as Christians live in the past, right? Convinced our best years or opportunities have passed us by, right? Some of us as Christians live in the future. We are constantly working towards that next goal, a house, a partner, a family, a career, which we believe will make us happy, right? That elusive happiness, right? And some of us as Christians, though, living in the moment, it's a bit more suspicious. We can tend to see it as a way of shirking responsibility or not caring about outcomes, right? That living in the moment, right? That's a big thing today, live in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Own this moment because there's nothing else, right? But that, even that, and yes, that's true. There's truth in each one of those, you know, looking to the past, looking at the present, or living in the moment and looking to the future. All those three things hold a viable and a real, importance for each and every Christian, each and every person. But I want to examine today, if our perspective is off, where does that lead us and where does that leave us? So we just bow your head with me in prayer and then we'll get into the Word of God this morning. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for once again, Lord, bringing us here, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, Lord. We thank you for even being able to look into the past, oh, Father God, and see all that you have done in and through our ministry, in and through our lives, in and through this building, oh, Father God. And Lord God, I just ask, Lord, that as we look at these things, Lord, that we would learn from even the mistakes we've made, Lord, and even how to dig deeper and draw nearer to you even as we go. Lord, have your way today in this service. Hide me, O Father God, that you, O Holy Spirit, that you would saturate every word that proceeds from your altar today, O Father God, and that they would saturate our ears, that even as we hear, that you would anoint our hearing, that we would hear the word that you have for us this morning. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, anybody here have a hard week this week? Nobody? Okay. Yes. So if you look around, the reason I'm asking that question, if you look around, right, so often we're in that place and we think that we're the only ones that are in that place. We think we're the only ones that are going through it right now, right? Because it's so real to us. It's so in the moment, if you will, right? But you look around, everybody is in their own moment, right? And just that's kind of a way of just realizing that everybody, every one of us have difficulties. Every one of us have struggles. And the only answer as we go through this, we'll realize, is having our focus firmly on the Lord and nothing else. You know, because he's the one who will show us from our past. He's the one who will be able to actually get us through our moment to moment. And he's the one who develops our future. We can plan for a future, but God laughs, right? Man makes his plans, but God scoffs, right? Because God's the one who directs our heart, right? But so I just want to get into it this morning. There's a lot here, so I want to really get through this. So the Lord really directed me to Isaiah, and I know that Kenny read the whole thing this morning. But I really wanted to read the whole thing because it shows the entirety of how that was such an awesome place of encouragement for the Israelites at the time, right? But as we read it this morning, I want to use it also to show perspective, right? So in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, it says, because this is what Jesus read, right? And so 1 and 2 is when Jesus came, right? And he said, today, in your hearing, these scriptures have been fulfilled. And from 2b through 11 is still to come with the second coming, I guess. So that's kind of just a caveat, right? So the Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, right? So that's 1 and 2, right? And when this was written, right, in Isaiah's time, right, this was such a word of encouragement to the people of Israel, right? And it was such a word of encouragement to them. Now we move on, and Jesus comes, and Jesus reads from Isaiah, right? And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And then he closes the scrolls and he goes on to say, in your hearing, the scripture has been fulfilled, right? And they want to throw him off the side of a cliff, right? So perspective is crucial, right? Because back in when this was written in Isaiah's time, this was such a word of encouragement, waiting for Messiah. This Messiah was going to come and liberate them, right? So Messiah comes and says, I have come to free the captives, right? You see me now. And they want to throw him off the side of a cliff, right? So I want to start from there, because perspective for each and every one of us is so vital, right? And there's three different states that each one of us live in continually, you know? And any one of them, if we get stuck in any one of them, it's bad for us. But to pay too much attention to one over the other is also bad. So how do we temper all that? I just want to go through this. So I'm going to start off why living in the past or focusing on the past can be so detrimental to us, right? So if you're stuck at a dead-end path because you keep focusing on your past failures, right? This is a sign that God is telling you to stop looking back, right? And there's so many scriptures, but Lord, let me, the Hebrews 8:12, it says, for I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. So don't look back and focus on all your flaws. God says, today, right? All things are being made new. His mercies are new every single morning, right? So if you're looking back and still beating yourself up over stuff you've done in the past, God's like, what are you talking about? I already threw those into the sea of forgetfulness. I don't remember them no more, right? So don't beat yourself up over something that God is not beating you up over, right? Let the Holy Spirit do the job, his work of conviction, but do not let the enemy do his work of condemnation, right? And again, if you are remembering all the bad in your past rather than remembering all the lessons God taught you through that past, this is a sign that God is telling you to stop looking back, right? Again, remember all those bad, because, you know, our brains or our human condition is almost trained to look back and look at the big mistakes and even the big joys that we had, right? We kind of don't really focus on the day-to-day from the past. But remember those big times when we really messed up, right? More so even than our good times. And that can be detrimental to your walk with the Lord, right? In Galatians 2:20 it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So live that life. You know what I'm saying? Do not get stuck looking in the past. Do not get stuck beating yourself up. Do not get stuck remembering all those horrific days. Again, today is the day, right, that the Lord has made, right? Praise God. So, and if you were looking at the hurtful people in your past, if you look at the hurtful people in your past so much, you are missing out on the godly people the Lord wants you to see in your present.
This is a sign of God's telling you to stop looking back again. How many of us look back and, you know, we start even starting creating conversations in our heads with people from years ago, you know what I'm saying? We're still arguing out points, even though that person's not even present, right? We're still working out in our spirit and our mind, right? And that's detrimental to our walk with the Lord, because that gives us now a sour spirit, allows the enemy to come in and starts to actually taint all our thoughts, all our actions, all our activities, because now our focus starts becoming hyper-focused on all that, right? But God's instruction, and again, there's so much that God has to say in His scriptures about this topic that we could be here all week. Really talking on this, but you know, we're going to keep it shorter than that, hopefully. But so in Romans, the good thing about having no second service, we have all afternoon, right? So in Romans 13:12, it says, "The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Let those bygone things be bygone. Let all those negative relationships even go a step further and seek to actually forgive all those who wronged you, right? Even if you had no wrong in it, forgive them, right? Forgive them anyway, you know what I'm saying? That's where healing starts. And that's when we start to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and give and liberate us, you know what I'm saying? You know, because I love the way it was put. Hate is like you feeding someone poison, or feeding yourself poison, and hoping the other person dies. You know what I'm saying? That's really what we're doing. We start holding on to that hate and holding on to those grudges, right? And if your gaze is so focused on the glory days in your past that you're missing out on the glory of Christ in your present, this is a sign. This is a sign God is telling you to stop looking back. You know, so many of us, especially as we start to mature in age, right? We look back and we start to think about all those times when we were able to do the things now that the younger guys can do or younger girls can do. And you start to realize the limitations are starting to be experienced in your body, right? That you can no longer do things that you were able to do, right? But even that, God's not asking you to focus on those. We should not be focusing on those. God has us in this age and in this place for a reason. I'm not saying you don't take care of yourself. I'm not saying you don't exercise. I'm not saying all that is also necessary. But don't look back to those times where, oh man, I could do this. I used to be able to do that. And I used to be able to do that. And focusing on that and not seeing that God has you in this place. So maybe you can slow down. Maybe you can slow down, hear Him a little clearer, be able to instruct those who are coming up, and now to allow wisdom to start being built in your life, right? And to allow you to be a person who's a coach, a teacher, a trainer for the next generation coming up. We have to, all of this stuff is toxic to us if we start getting stuck there. Whereas it's good, all this, yes, you look back and you encourage people with that, right? But don't look back and say, oh, how come I can't do what I used to be able to do? Right? Because number one, we start to actually even taint our relationship with the Lord. Because now we start to think, well, why won't God do this? Why won't God do that? Why won't God do the other thing? Well, God said, I'm doing something today. I'm not doing, the past is stagnant. The past already happened. You cannot change the past. Right? You can't change the past. No matter how much you try, you cannot change the past. And the future is yet to come. You can't change that either. You know what I'm saying? You can affect it, but you can't change it, right? Only God is what controls the future, right? And even our present, right? We can live in the present, but if we start living for it, that's a big difference. There's a slight adjustment, but if you're living for today, trying to stack up for today to get to tomorrow, instead of living in today and seeing who you can reach out to, who you can touch, what heart you can enlighten, that's a different perspective, right? And perspective is crucial when it comes to this, right? It says in Acts 20:24, it says, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Once again, focus on today. Today has enough troubles for itself, right? And as we focus on today, say, Lord, how is it that you want to use me? What is everything that's in my life today? What is it meant to be used for to give you glory, right? Whatever it may be. I just asked, does anybody have trouble this week, right? We've all had trouble this week. We've all had a hard week. Even just this morning, having to get up an hour earlier, right? That itself is trouble, right? But God knew that was covered, right? He gave us an hour. We gave us 24 hours yesterday, right? We'll have 24 hours again today. So it's how do we use that time in that day, right? But so, praise God. So we go on. So if you're looking toward and longing for loved ones who have passed on, and it's causing you to have a stagnant walk before God, God is more than likely telling you to stop looking back. Once again, you know, that's so, you know, it's so, I guess, this is such a dear point because, you know, so many of us have loved ones who have passed on. And yes, we miss them. And yes, we would love them to be participating in the things that we are going through even now, right? But God is saying that not to get stuck in that, not to get stuck in that place and then start to actually be praying that God would, you know, bring back or restore that relationship or somehow fill that void with something else. What God wants to fill that void with is His love, His peace, His care, right? And to continue to heal that hurt. God knows, He knows more than we do even. He knows even more than we do what it is to lose someone, right? As when people do not come to the Lord Jesus, He knows what it is to lose someone, right? And His heart's desire is that we would have peace in that, have grace, have mercy in that. So trust, and again, to put our focus back on glory. It says, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. There's a way that the world would tell us that we're supposed to behave. But if we look at the Word of God, if we look to the Word of God, it will give us a whole different perspective, right? So that's living in the past. Living in the past is clearly, from everything we've seen, living in the past is detrimental to our walk before God, right? So, but we can look back and draw from the experience we've had, draw from what God has done in our lives to strengthen us for the present and even into the future, right? So as we look here, C.S. Lewis, and I love this because living in the present or for the present can have its own detrimental effects, right? And C.S. Lewis was quoted saying this, right? We end up a whole race perpetually in pursuit of the rainbow's end. Never honest, never kind, never happy now, but always using as mere fuel wherewith to heap the altar of the future every real gift which is offered to them in the present. And I love that because what he's saying is that as we start, as God is blessing us today, as God is pouring out blessing on us every single day, as we go to our job and we meet, even if we're having trouble on our job, if our focus is correct, we can actually be blessed in that because we can see God raise us up even beyond that trouble, right? But if our focus is on just holding up and looking to the present to bring us to a future, right? We will continue to heap up onto that altar all the gifts that God has given us today with hope for a future. And we'll be looking towards, well, I'll be happy when I have all this, right? I'll be honest, you know, if I can just be honest even with myself, right? But I need this, I need that. But if we're honest, do we really need that? Or is it a want, right? And these are things that can happen if we focus and live too much in the present, right? And focus too much on the present leading to a future, right? And building not focusing on a reality in the presence, but looking at the presence as a leaping a springboard to the future, right? So here in Matthew 18 through 20, it says, now when Jesus, and I want to look at this because these are three examples, right? They're all from the same piece of scripture, but three examples that the Lord really put in my heart to show how living in the present can be positive or negative, right? So this is when Jesus was going out to sea with his disciples and there was a storm and all that, right? But he says, now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. When a scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So, once again, this guy is full of vigor, if you will, and really excited to join Jesus in what he's doing and to sign on with his rabbi. But Jesus wants to make sure that he's clearly looking at the present situation, right? He's like, okay, come follow me. But remember, I don't have a house. I don't have any place to lay my head. I don't have what you may consider needs, right? I have, if you follow me, all that you have to give up. And he wanted to see where that guy's heart really was. And that's the same thing for us. You know, so often we approach our present with, Lord, I need. I need a bigger, better kitchen. I need a better car. I need a bigger, better house. I need all these things that I'm going to work today so I can get that tomorrow, right? I need a promotion, so I'm going to work today. And God's like, no, work today for today. Work today for today because I want you in the present. This is where I have you today. Tomorrow is not promised. You know, Jesus may come tonight. He may come before the service is over. Are we living for today? Are we living for the right now? And that's really, you know, as we look at this is where Jesus was actually presenting before him. You know what I'm saying? Are you clear on what you're actually signing up for, right? And another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. Every time I read that, I laugh. Because I can just imagine, right? If someone came to Pastor Shari or to me or Pastor Raphael or one of the leaders in the church said, listen, I know you guys want me to come paint, but I got to go bury my dad, right? And we're like, well, let the dead bury your dad. And you come paint, right? That's in essence what Jesus said to them there, right? You know, sometimes we pass that off like what? This is what Jesus was saying to the disciple at that point. He was asking, where is your heart? Is your heart today to follow me, to pursue after me, and forsake that which is of the past, right? And to actually embark on a new present day that will lead to a new future, right? But in Christ. Not one that I'm contriving, not one that I'm living unto or living for, but one that is saturated in, Lord, what have you got for me now? Lord, why has this person just come into my life now? Why has this problem just come into my life now? Lord, how do you want me to deal with that now? Not how am I supposed to learn this so I can use that in the future, right? Don't look to what we're doing now so that it will actually come to the future. Even this, what we're doing here, yes, I love it because I see that God is going to do great work into the future, right? But I can't work in the ministry now for what God's going to do in the future. I can only work for today. What's God doing today in this church? What is he doing in your hearts? What's he doing in my heart, right? What is God speaking to each and every one of us that he wants us to do today? What is it that he wants you to do when you wake up tomorrow, right? When you meet the world and the world heaps all it has on you, right? And we come to the Lord and say, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to walk through this? How do you want me to be a witness to those who are around me that would bring you glory, right? And then again, in Matthew 24:25, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. I love this too, because you know, it just shows me the character of Jesus, right? That Jesus was so sure in his God and who he was, right? In the Father's ability to actually get him to, he said, we're going to the other side. Jesus, there was nothing else going to stop that, right? It didn't matter. Even if they did drown, they were still getting to the other side somehow, right? Jesus was secure in that. He fell asleep. there was no question, right? But how many of us, we're on fire. We hear a sermon. We hear a spiritual leader. We read a scripture, and all of a sudden we're on fire. We walk out the door, and someone the world heaps something on us, and we're like, oh Lord, yeah. And we get caught up in all this, and we start doing things in our own strength. We start saying, Lord, save us. We're perishing, right? And we forget that we're not really calling on Jesus there. What we're doing is saying, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to do here, right? But are we actually saying, Lord, I need you to show me how to walk through this? Are we saying, Lord, I need you to take this from me? And Jesus is saying, no, I'm not taking it from you. I put you here for a reason. I put you here for a reason so to take it from you would make no sense. This had to happen to the disciples. That storm was always going to come. And Jesus knew they were going to go through that. And he still went to sleep. So he let them experience this. So he lets us experience things too. So then we come before him and say, Lord, show me. Show me what it is that you want me to do in this situation. Show me how you want me to walk through this. Show me how you want me to trust you through this, right? Because here's Jesus' answer, right? In 8:26 he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm, right? Now Jesus can do that in each one of our lives, in each situation we're in, right? But we want Jesus to say, oh, welcome, my good and faithful servant, right? Not, you men of little faith, right? There are two different responses, but the reason the responses are different is if we look to Jesus, not to get us out of the situation, but Lord, how do I walk through this? Yea, do I walk through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil, right? That should be our mindset. That is the perspective. That is a different perspective than, Jesus, help me, right? Because I'm panicked right now. And get me out of this. And Jesus is like, no, I put you there. And let's walk through this. You know what I'm saying? That's the perspective that Jesus wants us to have. And you know, that can get so easily lost, because instead of our perspective being dependent on Jesus, right? We're looking at Jesus to be the one who gets us out of a jam. And Jesus is not the one who gets us out of jams. Jesus is the one who walks with us through the jam. Because he is the one who allowed that jam to come in the first place, right? Whatever comes through into our life, it is not to harm us. It is not to hurt us. It is to mature us. It is to grow us. And Jesus is not going to just pluck us out of it, right? He wants us to walk through it. And as we start to live in the present, right? Live in the present with that in our mindset, right? Because then the future will start to bring on a whole different perspective. A whole different vision. Because now it'll no longer be, how can I put aside for the future? But Lord, what's your future going to look like? If I trust in you, if I allow you to bring me through this, Lord, what's my tomorrow going to look like? I'm going to have more faith in you because I just was able to walk through that with you. I'm going to have more trust in you tomorrow than I did today. That should be the future we're looking to, right? Not, Lord, how am I going to be? How am I going to be cushy for my retirement? Lord, how am I going to be, you know? And I'm not saying don't have a savings account. Don't prepare for the future. Yes, by all means, prepare for the future. But the future that you're planning could change tomorrow. You don't know what the future is going to bring. So be always ready to realize that God is in control of the future. The past is already stagnant. It's already gone. And neither one of them are in our control. We can't change the past. We cannot affect the future, right? But if we live in the present, we can have a future that is bright. We can have a future that is more mature in the Lord, that we are growing now every day as we walk and say, Lord, how should I walk through this with you? That my tomorrow now will be brighter because I've learned more of you, because I've seen you bring me through this. I've seen how you can walk me through this. Now my tomorrow is going to be brighter. And that should be our perspective, not what can I do to make a brighter tomorrow, right? You can't do anything to make a brighter tomorrow except trust in Jesus. And Jesus then will grow us so that as we walk into tomorrow, tomorrow will just be brighter, right? Jesus said, you know, have enough, the day has enough troubles for itself, right? So let's focus on Jesus for today. And as we grow in that, as we grow in the present, then we will actually be able to walk into a brighter future, right? And these men were amazed. And I love this because this is the same thing that happened to us each and every time. These men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? This is the growth that we're talking about, that I'm talking about. Right? That as you go through this with the Lord and say, instead of, Lord, take me out of this, take this away from me, Lord, show me how to walk through this. Then we say, wow, what type of God do I truly serve here? Even the wind and the waves obey him, even this obeys him, even that obeys him. And then we'll see the actual authority that God has over every single aspect of our life. And then we grow in maturity. Then we grow in confidence. Then we grow in faith, right? And we'll be able to believe for that which is not seen, as though it were seen, right? We will be able to believe for that because, wow, my God could do this, right? So many of us don't believe that God can do this because we haven't experienced God in that way. We know He can do it, but there's a big difference between knowing it and actually experiencing it, right? He could have told the disciples, listen, I can calm the waves and the sea, right? And He could even have done it in their presence. But they experienced something. They experienced a moment where they thought they were going to perish. And then Jesus stood up and said, no, calm, be still, right? And it all just was still. And that's where Jesus wants us. That when we're in those places, not to look at and start getting panicked and start getting all turned around, but stop and pause and allow Jesus to be the one you focus on. Don't look to have an answer for every situation because you don't have the answer to every situation, but Jesus does. And we don't know what that answer is yet until we trust Him to actually deliver that answer. He could have delivered the disciples any way He wanted. He could have said, boat be picked up and landed on the seashore. Right? He could have done that, right? But Jesus decided to do it that way, right? And that's the same thing that we have to realize, that whatever situation we're in, Jesus knows how to speak to that situation. Jesus knows how to walk us through that situation. So instead of getting frazzled, instead of looking for a way out for ourselves, or to conjure up a way out, or to start reading, listen, this is the only time I'll say this, I'm not start reading the scriptures to figure out a way through when you're in the situation, right? Because the scriptures can be misinterpreted, especially if you're in a frantic state, right? If you're reading the scriptures when you're already in a frantic state, you're already almost behind the eight ball, if you will, right? For a better term, right? Because at that point, you're just reading to look for an answer, like you're pulling it out of a recipe book, right? Jesus is not a recipe book. Jesus is not a recipe. Jesus is someone who is living, who walks with us, who goes with us through the situation. He has given us the Holy Spirit to be the one who speaks to us, who gives us the actual ability to walk through these things, right? So if we're walking, so that's why it's so important to be in the present. So we're looking to the Holy Spirit. We're developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So when that comes upon us, we turn to the Holy Spirit first. And we say, wait, all right, give me peace. Give me calm. How? And if the Holy Spirit says, go to Scripture, and if He gives you an exact Scripture, go to that Scripture and do as it says. So I'm not denying the power of the Scriptures here. I'm not saying that, but it is not a magic book. It is not a book that of hocus pocus where we can go there and pull out a verse and say, okay, I'm going to hold this verse and I'm going to walk in that. That's not the purpose of Scripture. The purpose of Scripture is to build that relationship with God. And as that comes upon us, then we have that poise where we can come and say, Holy Spirit, show me. Show me how You want me to walk through this. There are going to be times you may even look foolish because the world may expect you to have a different response. The world may expect you to have an immediate response, but you sit back and let the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you that the world will start to come to you for responses, because your responses will be lasting. Your responses will be life-giving, because the Holy Spirit will be the one making those decisions. And that's living in the present and not for the present, right? So again, now we go looking at living in the future, right? And that's, I guess, before we go there, I just want to reiterate this. So in John 17, 15 through 17, he says, this is what Jesus is saying about us, right? He said, this is to encapsulate everything that's been said, right? He says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one, right? So you're not getting out. You know what I'm saying? The world is out there. And the world has troubles. And the world is full of trouble, right? No matter where you go, you go to your job, you go to the shop, you go, look around in the news, all you see is trouble just being compounded everywhere, right? So if our prayer was, get me out of this, Jesus would just take us out. You know what I'm saying? Take us out of the world. But He said, no, Lord, Father, I'm not asking You to do that. Don't take them out of the world, right? But keep them from the evil one. And the way we're kept from the evil one is building that relationship with Jesus, trusting in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our day, in our life, in our moment, in whatever situation we're going through, that we turn and we know that the Holy Spirit got this. And we can trust that. But the only way we grow in our trust in that is as we walk through Him and watch. And say, well, what kind of God is this? He even calms the waves. Even the waves and the sea obey Him. Even my boss obeys Him. Even my, you know, whatever the situation may be, right? God is able to do all of these things, right? And He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And that's important to realize. That when we walk out this door, never assume that you are of this world. You are of the kingdom of God. Right? The kingdom of God is in this world, but it's not of this world. And it does not bow down to this world. It does not bow down to the kingdom of Satan. It bows down to no one. Right? And you are heirs to that kingdom. But God wants us to walk in that confidence. We cannot walk in that confidence unless we know who it is that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Unless we've experienced Him. We can speak about Him all day long. But until we experience Him coming through and say, Cam, be still. Cam, be still. Whatever it may be. Then we will know. I'm not of this world. I am in it. But I'm not of it. I am of a kingdom that is far greater. A kingdom that is everlasting. A kingdom that is my home. I am a sojourner, if you will, right? An alien, right? In this land, right? And God wants us to have that vision everywhere we go, right? And as we do, we'll start to grow in our relationship, grow in our maturity, grow in our strength and our ability to trust Him. The things of this world will no longer even attract us. Because as we start to be controlled, as our mind starts to be conformed and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will want after the things of heaven. We will want after the things of the kingdom of God. We will want to push away the things of this world and surround ourselves with the kingdom of heaven. That's where life is. That's where life is. And as that life starts to actually become a reality every moment in our lives, it'll be like a magnet. It will draw the world into the kingdom of God. Because that is what's life-giving. They're looking for life, but they don't know where to find it. We have to be that light to the world, right? And it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit in us that is the light, right? But as we start to live that life in the present, right? Then we will be able to actually be that magnet, right? And sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. It is so vital. Don't read the scriptures, like I said, to solve your problems. Read the scriptures to know God. Read the scripture so that God can speak to you. So that you can come to know the God you serve. What has He done for the Israelites, right? What has He done for them the whole... And if He's done it for them, He'll do it for me. Right? This is my Father. This is the God I serve. This is the God that says, can't be still. Wow. This is the God I serve. This is my Father. I mean, think about that, right? And he's not an absentee Father by any means, as this word would kind of have us even in double, you know, it's kind of, even to say that word in this world is kind of confusing, right? Because the Father in the home has kind of become obscure, right? It doesn't have the same importance in this world as it once did, right? So don't look at God as in the world, right, or of the world. He is a Father above this world. He is a loving Father. He is a true Father. He is a Father who cares for every single aspect of your life. He wants to nurture you. He wants to prosper you. He's joyful. We were singing, my Father sings over me, right? Right? And this is the God we serve. And this is why we read the scriptures. And that's why it says, your word is truth. Because this is His word. But His word is not a book of magic potions or a book of riddles. His book is a book where we can actually start to build a relationship, a loving relationship with a Father whose heart is turned towards us, who has given us everything. I mean, everything. Not only did he actually, you know, relieve us of our sin debt, right? Debt and death, right? But he also says, I will empower you to live the life. Right? He has sent us the Holy Spirit, who is the one who empowers us, who strengthens us, who encourages us, who enables us to live a godly life. Right? So he's done everything for us. And that is the Father we serve. That is the God we serve. And that is why when we look at his word and we start to want to know what truth is, look at his word, not to pick it apart. But Lord, who are you? Lord, show me. He's written us a 66 book love letter. Right? So don't look at it as something laborious. Look at God speaking to you. Say, my child, this is what I want you. This is what I want you to know me as. This is how I want you to see me. I want you to see me as your father. But a loving father, a good father, a father who has your best interest at heart. Right? So, and then here in Psalms 118, 24, 25, it says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save. We beseech you, O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. So it's more than just this is the day the Lord has made, right? Yes, be glad, rejoice and be glad in it. But also, be seeking the Lord, right? Not just to save us, but to save those who he has given for us to save. The Lord has put people in our lives. Open our eyes so we can see that. Open our hearts so we can love them as God loves us. And then bring prosperity. And I'm not talking about dollars and cents. I'm talking about prosperity, maturity. Bring maturity, bring wisdom, bring love, bring joy, bring peace. That's the prosperity that we need. And as we start to walk in that prosperity, right? Everything else will just be added to us. That's what God's word says. Seek you first. The kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, right? And everything else will be added to you, right? So that's living for today, right? And this is the future. And I love this. I took two quotes, right? These are the two opposite ends for worldly instruction on future planning. Planning is bring the future into the present so that you can do something about it now. That's it's almost like a confusing statement to me, right? Because you're bringing the future, which hasn't happened yet, into a present time, which can't even happen, right? So you can do something about it now. So the instruction is to live today for something that's going to happen into the future, right? And it sounds great. The words put together sound really enticing. And wow, that's really good. When you start to really examine this, right? It's not telling us to look onto a brighter future. What it's saying is take hold of your future, but you don't even know what it is, and bring it into today so you can start working on that today so that you can solidify it in the future. It's almost arguing with itself in its own terminology, right? Because there's no way we can actually bring the future into the present, right? I mean, I think they tried it with the DeLorean, but that didn't work either, right? and the next one is, I love this one, you can't plan for the future because some guy is going to land in a spaceship with three heads and a big beak and take over everything. That kind of points back to the first one. Well, what if this happens? How can you take that future into your present and work on that to be the future? You know what I'm saying? So either one of them, when they really are put to the test, they don't hold up. But there's one thing that holds up every single time. And trust me, when I first came to the Lord, I tested the word of the Lord. I was not one of these Christians, if you will, who came into the Lord, and I came in and I was like, all right, yeah, okay, I'm going to be obedient in everything. The Lord had to train me in obedience. I guess I'm Irish and I have a stubborn side, right? But once you say yes to the Lord, right, and you say yes and you truly give your heart to the Lord, you can be as stubborn as you want. Lord is going to bring you into alignment with His word. You know what I'm saying? And His word holds up. If we trust His word, if we look to His word, right? His word is life-giving, right? So again, this is God's instruction, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I just want to pause on that for a second, because it says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. We have to be disciplined. We have to be intentional about looking and searching for God. You know, so often we look and we come into the kingdom of God, we come into a relationship with the Lord, and we kind of start to draw on past experiences. We start to look to future. We start to have all these, you know, dreams, I guess, and visions for a future. If I'll get here, right? But we never focus on what's God doing here. How is God going to get me to that future? And the way that we get to that future is by seeking God with all our heart. Because then we will find Him, right? And then He will hear us. And when we pray, He will hear us and He will answer us, right? And He says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you. Where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. And this is a picture of what future looks like, right? Living in a future, if you will, or if there's such a thing, or looking to future, right? Looking to future is seeking God. How do I get to a deeper relationship with God? How do I get to a place where I can know God better, where I can serve God better, where I can be used by God more? And as I do, and as I seek God with all my heart, all your heart doesn't mean a portion of it is still given to this world. A portion of it is still given to the resource or the finance or the ways of this world, right? Whatever they may be, all your heart is all your heart. And if we need to come before the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I haven't given you all my heart, then we need to come before the Holy Spirit and say, show me how to submit my entire heart to you. Show me how to seek you with my entire heart, and He will do that. In Philippians, right? 3:7-8 says, but whatever things were gained, this is Paul, I love this, because this is Paul looking to what he brought. Paul was a scholar of scholars. He goes on and he starts bragging a little bit about who, you know, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a, you know, all of these things. He says, if anyone has reason to boast, I have more, you know. But even that, here he says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. How many of us can stand here today, right, and say all the things in my life, if they're not submitted to the Lord, I consider them garbage? That's looking at our lives. We have to be sober-minded. We have to be intentional about looking at our lives and say, Lord, is everything in my life subjected to you? Is everything in my life subjected to you? And those things that are not subjected to you, Lord, teach me to see them as garbage. Teach me to see them as things that are weighing me down from being able to walk into a future where I am more mature, more involved, more in tune with your love, with your person, with your direction, with your voice, with your leading. This is what we need in the present. But let's look to our past, right? And not just to dwell there, but look at those things that God has liberated us from. But let's also look and see, do we throw all that out? Or do we kind of, you know, stow away some of it for the ride, you know what I'm saying? In case we need it, right? So, and I believe, as Paul is saying this, right, as we go on, it says, more than that, I called all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. That is to be our, you know, we, that is to be our life before God. You know, as Christians, right? I'm not talking about going out and joining a monastery in a secluded area. But you can live your life in this world and not be of it. You can go to work every day and live exactly what Paul is talking about here. You could be on your job and choose to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this situation. I'm going to trust you for my decision making. I'm going to trust you that when it seems like I don't fit in because everyone else is speaking on a world level and I don't really fit in because all I bring is the gospel, right? Lord, show me how. Show me how to deal with that. Show me how to actually maneuver so that I can actually add the gospel to that to that conversation. Lord, show me those ways. And as we start to do that, you know, we start to look at everything because it's easy to look back and say, oh, well, let me start to learn more about the Yankees. Let me start to learn more about, and look, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with any of this stuff, just to be clear, and learn more about Giants. But if we're delving into learning more about the topics of the world so that we can have conversation with the world, right? We're being distracted from the things of God, right? That means that we don't consider all things rubbish. We consider this to be somehow more value than the Word of God, right? It's better, right? It's from my experience, it's better even to be alienated than to actually try and become of the world, right? To not allow that to be your case, because you will see that in that situation, if you trust God, God will start to change your situation. God will start to change the topics of conversation. God will allow you to start breathing life into those lives. But we have to be able to endure for a season, right? And ask the Lord to give us the strength, give us the ability to actually trust Him every day in the present so that tomorrow, the future will look brighter. Tomorrow, the future will be more godly, even just in my sphere of influence, right? Because I trust you today, Lord. And I trust you today, knowing that if I trust you today, you will make a brighter tomorrow. You will make a brighter tomorrow, and you will be glorified in the tomorrow, right? I don't need to worry about it. Yes, I can look to it, and yes, be wise in how we manage the resources God has given us. But don't look to those things to sustain us through tomorrow, because God can take them all back. Just as quickly as He's given us our health, our finances, everything, right? It can all be gone tomorrow, right? God is here today, and He wants us seeking Him so that tomorrow prosperity is there. But that prosperity doesn't mean just financial prosperity. Doesn't mean riches. It means love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? This is the prosperity that God wants us to be focusing on today, right? To be drawing from the past, right? So yes, we can look back, but don't look back upon all the negative. That's why perspective is so important. Where are you looking? What is it that you're looking at, right? And again, here, Philippians 3:13-14 says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, right? Paul is talking about the actual, the righteousness, right? And the actual, eternal life, right? He says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, right? So let's just stop for a second and read this, right? It says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. So Paul is looking back, because Paul, he's always looking to what God brought him from, but not to hold him back, to encourage others, that if God did this in me, the worst of all sinners, He can do it for you. Right, that was Paul's reason for looking back, right? And he's encouraging people, saying, you know, I haven't achieved this yet, right? But I'm forgetting all that stuff that lies behind that would weigh me down, and reaching forward to what lies ahead, right? Reaching forward, he's reaching forward to actually see the revelation of Christ each and every day, to having hearts, minds, homes, lives turned to the gospel, right? And I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Right? Is that our testimony today? I mean, if it's not, if that's not your focal point, yes, it might be a part of our portfolio, if you will, right? But is it our focal point, right? Pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is your upward call? Do we know what God has called us to, right? Every morning when we get up, do you know what God's calling is upon in your life? If you're not sure, go to your prayer closet. Ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, open my ears. Let me hear your voice. You know, when you hear people talking about hearing God, it's not just for the elect. It's not just for the specific Christian. It's for every Christian who has come into the kingdom of God. And God wants every one of us to be able to hear his voice. Right? That should not be a miraculous thing. That should be what is expected. And as we come into our walk with the Lord, we have to come into our prayer closet and say, Lord, how come I don't hear you? I want to hear you. I need to hear you. Show me the things that I'm still holding on to from my past that are weighing me down, that are not allowing me to move into a more glorious future. Focus today on those things and allow the Lord to start unburdening us of the things that actually cause us to be weighed down, right? And here, I love this because this is Jesus, right? He says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So if you have come in to a life, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have seriously come before the Lord, if you haven't, if you're online, I urge you to seek after the Lord. Go into a place of prayer. Find a quiet place and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. And if you have, and you're not here, if you're not hearing, if you're not hearing, it doesn't mean that you're not a sheep. It means that we have not gone to that place where we're asking the Lord to open our minds. We have allowed the things from our past to distract us. We have allowed the things from the past to weigh us down. God wants us in the presence to say, Lord, open my ears so that I can hear your voice, so I can hear your instruction, so I can walk according to your precepts, so I can walk according to your leading. And as we do that, that's when we will be life-giving to those who are around us, right? And I'm going to close with this, right? And he said to them, thus it is written, because this is what all our futures, the focus for all our futures, right, should be this, right? This is the instruction that our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our Father, the one who paid the price for everything, the one, he said that we are not our own. We were bought with a price, right? This is his instruction to us. This is instruction unto future. This is why we need to focus on him today so we can fulfill this calling each and every other day, right? Every day we need to be focusing on the Lord Jesus. We need to be focusing on the actual very life of the Holy Spirit coursing through us so that we can fulfill this calling, right? He says, thus is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sin would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem, right? How many of us are out there proclaiming, right? Repentance and forgiveness, right? So often us say, oh, I don't know enough about the scripture. I don't know enough of the scripture to actually, you know, to actually go out there and really witness or proselytize or tell people about Jesus. This is very simple. Repent and you will receive forgiveness. Repent and you will receive forgiveness. So as we look at what it is that God wants us to say, but the only way we can do that with love, the only way we can do that with effectiveness, if the Holy Spirit is the one who is actually urging us forward, causing us to have a heart's desire for that person, who is setting up the surrounding, the situation, who is preparing that other person's heart to hear The Lord is calling you to repentance. The Lord is calling you to repentance for forgiveness. If you have forgiveness, you will have liberty. And when the Holy Spirit is the one delivering that message, I guarantee you, at least one, if not more, of those bricks that they of that in the wall that they have built around their heart will be knocked free. Now light will start to shine in. And once the light pierces the darkness, the light will soon consume the darkness. And that's what we're looking to do. It's that simple. But we need to be focused in the present on Jesus Christ, on the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us, so that this can be achieved, right? And it says, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. So he was speaking to the apostles then. They received the Holy Spirit. You have received the Holy Spirit. So you no longer need to go to a city and wait until you are clothed from on high. You've already been clothed from on high. This instruction is, when you first come to the Lord, the Lord is working us. He's giving us the ability to actually start to grow in Him, right? But you have grown in Him. And if you haven't grown in Him, sit before His feet and say, Lord, show me. Show me how I can grow. Show me how you want to actually mature me. Show me how you want to develop me so that I can be that person, right? Until you receive power from on high. And He led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up His hands and blessed them, right? So I want to close with that. Just saying, do not get stuck in the past, grieving over things that are gone, because the past is stagnant. You can't change it no matter how much you try, no matter how much you try to actually excuse or focus or lament. You can't change what happened in the past. And God has said, I don't even remember your sins anymore. I cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. But don't nullify them so that you don't grow from that experience. Say, Holy Spirit, show me. Bring the conviction upon me so that I grow from that. So that I know the things that I should not be walking in. So that I can release the things of the world and now be focused on surrounding myself with kingdom things. Right? And as we focus on the Lord, as we focus on Jesus, that we would have a future that becomes brighter and brighter. Because we are going deeper and deeper in our relationship with the Lord. So praise God today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What are my steps in your word, dear Lord? Lead me, guide me every day. Send your
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. So as we go today, don't just look at your past and try and labor over it, but look at your past and learn from it. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring that conviction. And anything that you haven't let go of yet, let go of what's in your past. Release it so the Holy Spirit can now start to build you anew and afresh, so that those things of the world are not hindering you. Surround yourself in prayer. Surround yourself in the Word. Surround yourself in worship, so that even for today, you start to grow in the wisdom, in the knowledge, in the maturity of the Lord. And then you start to understand the God you serve, that whatever situation you find yourself in, you can say, can, be still. We can grow in our confidence, knowing that no matter what situation we find, we don't need to start working to get ourselves out of it. We just need to turn to the Holy Spirit and then do what He tells us to do. So praise God. So as you go this week, focus on that. And then watch. Then watch as the Lord starts to develop a bright future. A bright future for tomorrow in your life. And as you start to have that excitement, as you start to have that zeal and that passion, that becomes contagious. And people will start asking you, what is with you, brother? What is with you, sister? How are you so joyous, especially in these times? Now you have opportunity. Now you have opportunity to say, repent. Forgiveness is at hand. Hallelujah. So praise God. The altars are open, but if you bow your head with me in prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word today, Lord. I thank you for reminding us, Father God, that you have great and mighty plans for us, Lord God. But your plans start today, Lord. Let us find that place in our prayer closet, Father God. Let us find that prayer place in our walk, Father God, where we come before you, where we saturate ourselves in prayer, saturate ourselves in you, Father God, that we would come to know you, come to love you, come to understand you, come to see you as this loving Father, that we may go out, Lord God, and affect those who you bring to us, Lord. That we may affect people in our workplace, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, Father God. Wherever it is that we lay our feet, Father God. That even as we go, because you have already ordered our steps, Father God. You've already caused it to be anointed ground, Father God. Because you've already walked before us. Lord, I just ask that you start to set up these opportunities for us. And Lord God, continue to create in us a yearning and desire after you. And then a bright future that would follow. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want